Hi guys, this is Suhail's Not So Secret Diary, and today I will be talking about the power of our thoughts and why do we experience fear this frequently. This podcast is going to be in two segments. And first, I want to tackle the segment of experiencing fear, because that is something which is more common in human beings that we don't even realize. Recently, I read a book called The Four Agreements. In that book, the human quality of experiencing fear was highlighted. In that book, there was shown that since childhood, we were accustomed to so many things that as we grow up, we accept them. We were punished for doing something bad. We were rewarded for doing something good. But all of our decision of what's bad and what's good were dictated by our elders. Obviously, we had no understanding of what's good and what's bad. So naturally, we accepted whatever was taught to us. And unfortunately, our parents and our teachers that we had while growing up were not very open-minded. Some people call them conservative, some people call them religious, but I would like to think of them as immature. Immature in the sense is they're reflecting the same values that they were exposed to when growing up. So you cannot really blame them completely. This is a wheel which has been going on and on since forever. And if you're listening to this podcast, that means you're aware that this wheel needs to be broken. And you're taking the first step in mending the trauma that your generation has envisioned and inflicted upon people. Anyway, the very first point I want to point out is that we have fear experienced at every point of our life. Some people fear that they will not be able to gain weight. Some people fear that they'll not be able to lose weight. Some people fear that they'll lose a relationship. People fear death, people fear animals, people have phobias. Even when we don't think of fear in our conscious realm, it is always present in our subconscious realm. Our dreams, we tend to fall from the edge of a building, or we have a random animal chasing at us. That is the mind broadcasting our worst fear, death. All of us are aware that we are mortal, but none of us want to accept it. And that's why this denial leads to fear. Our mind is a cesspool of emotions. Our anger, our insecurities, our agony, everything stems out of fear. There's two ways that your body will respond to any danger. Either you'll fight it or you'll be scared of it. And most of the times, you're scared of it. Some more examples are fear of rejection and fear of losing our jobs. Being attracted to anyone is natural. However, whether that person will reciprocate the same emotion, that's subjective. Some people might not like you because they're just not interested in your gender. Some people might not like you because they don't have the same mental capacity or the same emotional capacity or the same spiritual capacity. And very few shallow people will reject you for your apparent physical flaws. Even if they do point it out, do not take it personally. You were created in the most beautiful form possible. In your own way, all of us are beautiful. It is the fault of the generation implant that I've been talking about. The physical beauty criteria has been within all of our families for generations. As a joke, people call out people who are dark-skinned, who are not of enough height, who have a lot of weight, or who don't have a lot of weight, who can speak English fluently, who can't speak fluently. Every now and then, our apparent flaws are pointed out. That gives rise to our insecurities. We are scared of being ourselves because for all our lives, we have been told to not be ourselves. That being ourselves would land us in trouble, would allow us to miss a lot of opportunities. And this issue has become so chronic that people usually assume the worst and are scared of expressing their feelings. What you need to realize is that you must be fundamentally aware of your beauty. Self-rejection is a sharper sword than rejection from the outer world. Unless and until you accept yourself, others won't. When you're at work, do not think of yourself as an incapable person. You have a degree. You passed an interview. If your superior can see the potential in you, that means you can do it. Yes, the fields of work are always evolving. There will be someone who is better than you at one particular field. Nobody is an all-rounder. Everybody lacks somewhere. Where one lacks, the other will make up to it. And if you lack in a lot of fields, you should not be driven into a corner. You should take it as a stepping stone to developing yourself. Learn new skills. Communicate effectively. The ease of getting information is a boon to all of us. Relentlessly spending time on social media, watching reels and watching photos and all of that other things that you should not really spend time on, you can enroll for new skills. Pay money or do it from YouTube. A lot of free videos are available there. Most of our irrational fears are rooted in making assumptions. Another classical example would be our fear of losing our jobs. Sometimes when we are overburdened, we think that asking for help would make others think that we are incapable. But everyone who is at a senior position now was once a beginner. And most of our bosses do understand our predicament. It's just that we don't approach them because of our own fear. I've had so many superiors help me in becoming a better version of myself. And that only happened because I let my fear aside and I asked for help. Now let's go on to the second topic, our thinking. Because of this source of instant gratification in our life, we have stopped thinking. If you are hungry, we order food. If you are bored, we go to reels. If we want to spend time with someone which we can't physically meet with, we usually video call. All of this has made our life so rapid that even for 1 second, we don't pause and think about where our life is headed to. We have all these assumptions and all these fears lurking within us that we've completely stopped thinking. Sometimes our patterns have become so habitual that we just go on a whim, pick our phone and do the usual thing that we do without even realizing that it's a bad loop. I understand that it's a difficult thing to break a pattern. But I'm not asking you to break the pattern in its entirety. We have to decompartmentalize our entire loop and take one step each time and become better 1% every day. If you've read the book Atomic Habits, this is the entire premise of the book. It aims for you to become 1% better every day, because everything cannot be done at once. And too much on your plate would rather lead to failure than success. For an example, if you feel like you have a groggy morning, you need to understand what's the reason for it. Is it because your sleep wasn't proper? If your sleep wasn't proper, what was it about your sleep which was unsatisfactory? Was it the quality? Was it the length? Was it the bed? Was it the hygiene? Did you not hydrate yourself? Did you hydrate yourself too much that you had to wake up in the middle of the night and go to pee? You need to identify everything that we feel is not correct for us usually has a very present pattern present in it. We just need to identify it, become aware of it, and make small tweaks to become better at it. For example, if you feel like your quality was not better, maybe stop using phone an hour before you sleep. Maybe not have caffeine 6 hours before you sleep. Maybe not drink too much of water so that you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night to urinate. Maybe make your bed, dust your bed before you sleep. Apply some sort of perfume in your room so that, you know, it calms you down. Lavender is a very good choice for people who want to improve the quality of their sleep. Small tweaks can go a long way in improving your overall quality of sleep. Similarly, in every areas of your life where you feel unsatisfied or dissatisfied, I don't know what is the antonym, you need to identify what is the reason for that dissatisfaction. And you need to work on it one step at a time. If you feel like you're failing in relationships, you need to understand what's the reason for that failure. Is it because of ineffective communication? Is it because of miscommunication? Is it because you chronically assume the worst and just blabber shit out. You know, maybe your partners are responding to you, and despite of understanding they could be busy or there could be some other issue, you assume that they're ignoring you. Your insecurities jump out. That is something which is bad on your part, and you need to understand it. I'm not asking you to hire a therapist and start talking about it to someone on the go. No, you need to first become aware that there is something within you which is not correct, and you need to change that. You need to change that about yourself if you want to develop on a whole. Our thoughts are a very powerful weapon that we've been blessed with. We have productive thoughts and we have destructive thoughts. It's our decision on what thoughts do we choose to lurk on. Naturally, if we loom too much on destructive thoughts, we will have a destructive pattern. And if we focus too much on productive thoughts, we will have a lot of productivity. However, you cannot really lean on one side. You need to have balance in your life. In the book 12 Rules of Life, the very first chapter talks about order and chaos. You need one to complete the other. It's a symbiotic relationship. Too much of order will not satisfy you, and too much of chaos will definitely not satisfy you. You need to experience chaos in order to experience order. You need to experience order in order to experience chaos. So I'm not telling you to not overthink or to not dwell on negative emotions. Negative emotions are just as much a part of our life as positive emotions. However, when these negative emotions start overpowering us, that is when we need to draw a line between them and tell them to back off. Okay, we need to start thinking, we need to start understanding what is happening. Instead of figuring out why is this happening to me, you need to understand what is happening to you. Most of the times you feel like, okay, I just lost a job. Why did I lose a job? Why was it me who got fired? Why not someone else? Why was I the one who broke up? Why not someone else? What has happened? Have you really broken up because of, you know, trust issues? Or have you really broken up because they found someone better, or you found someone better, or you did not get closure? What was the reason that you were fired? Again, you would say that what was the reason that you're fired and why you're fired are practically the same thing. They're not. When you say why you're fired, you assume that the person is wrong. The person who fired you is wrong. You are the correct person. What was the reason that got you fired? When you change the framing of the question, your answers change too. What develops accountability? Okay, when you think in the terms of what was the reason that got me fired, you can have 10 reasons on your hand. You were late, you were inconsistent, you lagged behind your sales call or, you know, meeting your deadlines, you were not very friendly with people around you, or you made some remarks which made people uncomfortable, you were disrespectful to your superiors in their workplace, or maybe you took work very lightly, you were performing less than all your counterparts. These are the reasons which could get you fired. Now, I understand that could be a very low-lying mechanism that was the reason for you not being productive. However, that's what I want to talk about. We need to think, we need to pause, and we need to understand what's happening in our life and what changes can you make to make it better. And you need to make those changes one step at a time. Rushing would only get you so far. Everything that you do in your life needs to be sustainable, whether that is in terms of your consumption, of your progression, even in terms of your degradation. It needs to be sustainable. So think about it and really, really reflect on it. And the easiest way to do would be journaling. Whenever you have this overwhelming amount of thoughts coming into you, pour them out. If you love to write, journal them. If you are a creative person, draw them out, or maybe write a poetry, or maybe write a prose where you can express how you're feeling. If you're not really a creative person, maybe calm yourself through meditation, or maybe watch something which would calm you down, something which is funny, something which is, childish. Go back to your childhood, because that is when we were fearless. That is when we were not bound to so many responsibilities. That is when we felt the most free. So go back to your childhood, revisit your childhood memories, the shows that you used to watch when you were a child, the things that you used to eat when you were a child, or maybe the friends that you used to hang out with when you were a child. Go back to your childhood if you're not a creative person. And even if you're not a creative person, that should not stop you from writing your emotions out. See, you don't have a language barrier. You can write it in a language of your preference. But it's very important to get it all out. All of us cannot afford therapists. So journaling should be your go-to defense mechanism. If you are a spiritual person, meditation should be your mechanism. If you are a religious person, then the religious books should be enough to get you by through difficult days. I understand in today's days, a lot of people are not religious, and being religious has been given a bad term. You know, if you're religious, you are someone who's very conservative and not really open-minded. Well, I disdain this opinion. You can be religious and you can also be open-minded, but it all comes down to the level of understanding of the person. And obviously, I'm not going to talk about this in this podcast because this would then extend a lot. My point is that you need to start understanding yourself. You need to become aware of yourself. You need to make changes within yourself. And when I say changes, I don't ask you to make physical changes. Obviously, if physical changes make you feel better, go for it. But your changes should be emotional, mental, spiritual. This is the takeaway of this podcast. You need to understand that you have been subjugated to fear since you were a child, and you need to break through these barriers that hold you in. Don't be scared of going out of your comfort zone. The moment you step out of your comfort zone is where you're going to feel truly free and truly comfortable in your skin. The only reason why you are in your comfort zone is because you were habituated into it since you were a child. You had certain rules that you were supposed to follow, and all those rules developed, became this comfort zone bubble around you, and they don't let you come out of it. If you are 16, 17, 18, 13, 14, I don't care. Make small steps towards bettering yourself each day. Understand yourself first. That is the key to everything. Unless and until you do not understand yourself, others will not understand you. Because if you are confused about yourself, you're going to give out confused signals to people. One day they'll think you're such a happy person. One day they'll think you're the most depressing person they've ever met. One day they'll think, you know, there's something about you that they need to know. One day they'll think they just don't want to know you. What is it about you that you love, that you like, that you accept? What is it about you that is stopping you from understanding yourself? Write it down. The best way to understand everything and anything is you write it down. The pros and the cons, everything. The most basic thing that you see in all these social media posts, in all these books, they may seem fancy and too vague to do, but they really help you. I've tried all of it and all of it has worked for me. Don't stick to one particular way of dealing with life, because life comes with its ups and downs, and with every ups and downs your way of dealing with life should change. But none of this will matter unless and until you know yourself, unless and until you know who you are, and only you can discover who you are. The power of your thought is within you. The power of the actions you take is within you. The power to change yourself is within you. Others can only inspire you, but the change has to be brought by yourself. And unless and until you don't own up to the responsibility of changing yourself, unless and until you do not become accountable of yourself, you will not be able to get these changes past you. So make a firm intention from today that you will become aware of yourself. You will understand your emotions before you put out the blame game. That's all I have to say. I know there were a lot of moments in this podcast where you must have felt that, you know, this is going way above my head. It's fine. If you've got any doubts, you can message me on my Instagram. You can message me anywhere, you know, where you can think you can find me. I don't know what to do about my contact details. However, if you just want to have a talk, if you just want me to help you understand your emotions, you can message me anytime. It'll be all free of cost. I won't charge you for all this bullshit, because I really feel that people need to get better. And usually financial constraints are the biggest part where people don't really take actions, because, you know, money is a bit tight. It's fine by me. I will help you regardless of it. Just become better. Just fall in love with yourself, and the world will fall in love with you afterwards like anything. And I'll see you in the next podcast. Bye-bye.